Now, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 10 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10 and verse 26. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And then if you would come down with me to verse 26, and he saith unto them, that is the disciples, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Dear congregation, in writing to the brethren, the apostle wrote in Hebrews 10 verse 39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Saving faith, as we have read of there, is the most precious grace put within the heart by the Holy Spirit. Before there is unbelief, there is darkness, there is real ignorance, but then there is life, faith, because of Jesus and his righteousness. And one is saved. One is found looking unto Jesus. Oh, that today, in view of Calvary, the Holy Spirit would put faith in the hearts of poor sinners in this country. We who love the Lord, let us value this grace of faith. We do not deserve it, yet we are blessed to have this precious grace which was freely given to us. Many Jews and Gentiles down through history have been given this precious grace. The Holy Spirit has come and implanted it within. Jews and Gentiles. Well, here in this chapter we consider a Gentile centurion with faith in his heart, but also some Jewish fishermen with faith in their hearts. Those that truly loved the Lord. Well, it is a great blessing to have faith within the heart. Let me ask you, has the Holy Spirit implanted this grace within your soul? Are you found looking unto Jesus? Are you found believing the whole word of God? Now, different believers and at different times, this grace of faith can appear as great or as little. And we have this contrast, this striking contrast here in this chapter. And as I was looking again at this chapter, this was impressed upon me. We have the centurion with great faith, yet we have the disciples with little faith. The centurion, he meets the Lord and his faith is strong. The disciples, who had been with the Lord for a while, in the storm their faith was little. Now in this chapter we are presented with the compassion of Jesus. And this is a great subject in this chapter. First of all, he had compassion upon the leper, and then the centurion's servant. Thirdly, upon Peter's mother-in-law. Fourthly, on those that were brought him in the evening with their various sicknesses. He had compassion upon the disciples, and he had compassion upon the one possessed with demons. And so we have looked at this subject of the compassion of Jesus. But there's this other subject here that stands out, and that is faith. And as we come to this subject of faith this morning, I'd like us to consider, first of all, saving faith. Secondly, from verse 10, great faith. And then thirdly, from verse 26, little faith. Saving faith, great faith, and little faith. Come with me to verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." He marveled. He took note of the faith of the centurion. The Lord looked upon his heart, and he saw that grace of faith there, and that the centurion was so looking to him, was so focusing on the word, his faith appeared as great. The Lord takes note of our hearts this morning. Does he see that grace of faith in your heart? Or is that grace absent from your heart? You may have a historic faith. You believe certain things, that our Lord was born at Bethlehem, and that he lived here upon earth and he went around doing good, but you have not that grace of saving faith. You're not saved. What does the Lord take note of this morning? He examines our hearts. I was speaking to the children the other day. The Lord looks upon us. He looks through the ceiling. He sees straight into our hearts. What does he take note of this morning? Does he see this grace of faith within? And does he see you so exercising this grace of faith? What does he take note of? Sadly, in his own country, many slighted him, as we see in Mark chapter 6. And we read in the 6th verse of that chapter, and he marvelled because of their unbelief. He marvelled. He was taken by it. Their unbelief. They knew him. They knew where he had lived and what he had done, yet they did not believe. He marvelled at their unbelief, but here he marvelled at the belief of the centurion. When Jesus heard it, he marvelled. He heard and he took note. What does he marvel at this morning? Is it that you're not believing? You've heard the gospel before. You've been told the gospel many a time. You know a little of what the Lord Jesus Christ is like. But you're not believing. Is he marvelling at this time? At your unbelief? Or does he take note that faith resides in your heart? He will take note, for he is there. What do we read in Ephesians 3 verse 17? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Does he look on you this morning and he sees that grace of faith within you and he sees that he is in your life? What a blessing to have the Lord living within our hearts. Now, having saving faith, one is found looking unto Jesus for salvation alone. Remember what that Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. We think of saving faith. Again, think again of those words in Hebrews 10 verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Saving faith. Through faith one receives Christ and his righteousness. And because of Christ and his righteousness, they are justified. One is accepted. There's no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. One's sins are forgiven. They're accepted as righteous. We think of saving faith when faith is put within. One is justified, one is saved. The application of redemption has begun. What a gift faith is then. The focus again, it is put within the heart by the Holy Spirit. What a gift it is. If you're a believer here this morning, you did not deserve this gift. In Ephesians 2 verse 8 we read, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Well, just focus, what a precious gift it is. For with faith we behold Christ, who is precious. Peter, writing in 2 Peter 1 verse 1, wrote, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Like precious faith. What a blessing to be in the family of God, having this like precious faith. Having obtained it, not by anything we have done, but because of Jesus and his righteousness. It is a precious gift, I say, for with it one beholds a precious Saviour. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Are you looking unto Jesus this morning? Do you see him as precious? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Now, with the grace of faith, one believes in Jesus. They also believe the truth of God's word. They believe the word. They believe it is true. They believe that the Lord is speaking to them. They have love in their hearts and they respond, I believe it. Now notice the centurion in verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He believed in the Lord, and he believed in the word of the Lord. If the Lord but speak the word, his servant would be healed. In John 4 verse 42 we read, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, the men were speaking to the woman of Samaria, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. You see, they're believing in the word of the Lord. There's faith in the general object, the word of God. Christ is the main and principal object. One believes in Jesus alone for salvation. Yet we consider with this faith, one believes the word. It was the testimony of the brethren at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They were believing, and they received the word of God, not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And as we think of this, consider how that faith is ordinarily wrought in the heart by the ministry of the word. Romans 10 verse 17, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word is preached, and how often throughout history, and even at this present time in this world, the Holy Spirit is using the word and implanting faith within. How important is the preaching of the word in this country and all over this world? Our Lord said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And as we think of that, we consider that the faith is ordinarily wrought in the heart by the ministry of the word. The believer has the word before them, and they believe it. You have the Bible before you, and you believe the Bible. Many in this country, they do not believe the Bible. Young ones here this morning, you believe the Bible. Many don't, but you do. One comes to faith, they believe the word of God. Now for some it may just be a verse or two they have. And there are some in this world, in certain tribes, they just have a verse or two of scripture, or maybe a chapter. There's some there, they're so poor they cannot afford a complete Bible, yet they believe the word of God. With saving faith, one is found believing in Jesus alone for salvation, and they're found believing the Bible. And how important it is. Let's open this up a little further. There is belief in creation recorded in the word of God. You recall those words in Hebrews 11 verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were made, not made of things which do appear. Through faith, we believe God created this world in 6 days. Now there have been those who have been shaky on this, but the Bible makes it plain, and we believe the word of God. God in 6 days created this world. Consider creation this morning. You remember those words from Psalm 8 and verse 3. Psalm 8 and verse 3. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. There's a psalmist. He considers the heavens and he considers the stars which the Lord has made. You know, one of the good things about winter is this. You don't have to sit up late, do you, here, to see the stars appearing in the sky. It's around 5 p.m. here, and the stars start appearing, and you can admire them. Now you're not led to consider the Lord who created them. Many do not believe in God. Many do not believe in creation. They believe in evolution. And why is this? Why do they believe the lie of the devil? Because if they believe in creation, that God made this world, soon they will come across in Genesis the truth about sin and judgment. You see, many will not believe in creation. They will not accept Genesis because they know in Genesis it teaches about sin and judgment and the need of salvation. Let us be thankful where creation is taught today. Let's pray it might be taught more and more in the schools and colleges and universities of this land. For so many are being taught that God did not create this world. They're being taught that evolution is the fact. But we who love the Lord, with saving faith in our hearts, we believe in God and His Word, and we believe in creation. What do we read in Hebrews 11 verse 3? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You know, there's some very intelligent men. There's some very wise scientists in a worldly way of wisdom. Yet they don't understand the plain simple truth that God made this world. But through faith we understand. You do not have to be a great scientist to believe in creation. You just need to have saving faith in your heart. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. God our Maker inspired this book. We listen to the Lord our Maker. So through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Well, let's think secondly. We have faith in the power of God revealed to us in the word. Consider again the centurion, verse 8. I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He believed in the word of the Lord and the power of the Lord. We believe in the word, therefore we believe in the power of God. Consider further, we believe in the promises of God revealed in His word. Because we believe the word of God. In Hebrews 11 verse 13 we read, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. But the promises of the land, the promises of the coming of the Messiah, they believed in them because the Lord had declared them. And we believe the promises of God revealed to us in His word. Remember those words in Titus 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You think of the promise revealed in Scripture, and there was the hope of it. And we are believing in eternal life as the Lord has revealed it in His word. How precious then is this grace of saving faith. We're found believing in Jesus, we're saved, and we're found believing the word of God as a whole. Oh, there are so many who dismiss the Bible. They dismiss the Saviour. There's that ignorance in their heart. What a blessing to have our eyes open, to be able to see. What a blessing is this gift of saving faith. Let me just illustrate this briefly. You were found looking unto Jesus. You're trusting him. You went to some trial and you turn to the word and you come prayerfully to it and you look to the Lord. Lord, speak to me. And you come across a verse and it's so full of promise to you and you lay hold of it. That precious grace of faith is being exercised and cultivated by the Holy Spirit. You focus on some verse and you find comfort. What a blessing is the gift of saving faith. J.C. Ryle wrote, "Faith in Christ is most precious in God's sight. Faith in Christ is most precious in God's sight." This believing in him and in his word. Secondly, and more briefly, great faith. We thought of saving faith, but let's consider secondly great faith. Verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marvelled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." But just note the contrast again in verse 10 and verse 26 as well. Those Jewish fishermen, "Oh, ye have little faith." Here this centurion, this gentle man, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And our Lord, he marvels at the faith of this centurion. And we see here the human nature of Christ. He marveled. He wondered. He admired it. He marveled at the faith of the centurion. His faith was seen as great. Dear child of God, the Holy Spirit has implanted faith within. What does your Lord think of the faith in your heart? That is the exercise of this grace within. Is he marvelling at it? Is it seen as great or little, strong or weak? Does he see you so resting on him at this time? He knows. We thought earlier that he dwells within our hearts. He knows. He knows if we're so leaning on him. Is your faith seen as great to him at this moment? A child may be sitting next to their dad or mum, and they just lean their head on the shoulder of their parent. But another time they may come and they open their arms and they put their arms around their dad or mum and they lean on their chest. They so embrace them. They so lean. They so rest. What does Jesus see about you now? That you're so leaning on him this morning. That you're so trusting him. There may be a storm raging against you, but you're so focused. The centurion, his servant was sick, yet he was focused on Jesus. There was much exercise of faith. "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." He was so looking. He was so believing. He was so trusting in the word of the Lord. Just note this again. Verse 8. "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." His faith appeared great to his master. Now we must not think that if one does not have great faith, that gift of faith which God put within their heart was not as good in some way as the one who has strong faith. No, we mustn't think that. There's nothing wrong with the gift the Lord has given. So when we read in a moment of the disciples with little faith, there was nothing wrong with the gift that the Lord had put within the heart of those true disciples. But we're thinking of the exercise of it. Those who have the Lord have this gift of faith within their heart. But at different times or in different ones, it appears greater to the Lord or it appears smaller. There's more exercise of it at times and there's less exercise of it. It's not there's something wrong in some way with the gift that the Lord gave? Of course not. But we're thinking of the exercise of it. We have faith for them, dear brethren. We are saved. The application of redemption has begun. At times we're found so focusing on the Lord, at other times we may be found struggling. What does the Lord see at this moment? He knows. And if you're honest, you know as well what he sees. You know what the Lord sees. It may be, as we shall consider in a moment, and I say it myself at times, Lord, increase my faith. Oh, to exercise great faith. You remember Abraham? He was being tested. He was to go and offer up his son on Mount Moriah. He goes and he says to Isaac, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. He believed there would be a provision. He draws out the knife and the provision comes. His faith was strong. Hebrews 11 verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He was a man of faith. His faith was noted. By faith we go forward in the day. By faith we go forward in the storm. Is that said of you and me? Is our faith noted in affliction? How often is it said of Aaron? By faith Aaron went and did that. By faith you went and did that. What do we read here? Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Oh, to so focus on the Lord. Oh, to so look on to Jesus. Do not we desire such a sharp focus on our captain in the storms of life? He's the captain. He's leading us. He's led us into the storm. Oh, for such a focus on him in the storms of life. To be so believing his word. To be believing his promises. We know the promises of God. We know the promises of strength and help and support. But oh, to so focus on them. We believe in the word of God. We believe the promises. But oh, to focus on those promises. To exercise much faith in them. Adoniram Judson. He's so focused on the Lord and the promises of the Lord. And wrote this. The future is as bright as the promises of God. What great faith was displayed in his heart at that time. The future is as bright as the promises of God. Strong faith. Much exercise of it. You may be in a difficult situation. Sometimes you may be struggling and you're sinking, as we shall consider in a moment. Other times you're helped to so focus and you believe you're going to get through this early on in the trial. You believe in God's grace. You believe that strength will come and help and in time deliverance. Sometimes one may say, how will I ever get through this? Yet at other times the believer may sit down. The Lord's going to bring me through this. Oh, to be so focused. There are evidences of strong faith. In a storm, one may be so focused on the Lord, the greatness of God and his great promises. We have here an evidence of strong faith. But speak the word only. The Lord only has to speak the word. And the situation can be turned around. And souls can be saved. He spake the word and he made this world. Oh, to be so strong. There's the evidences. We see it here this morning. Now, Reverend John Brown of Huntington gives certain evidences of strong faith. And I'll give you one of them this morning. Refusing to doubt of his love when he hides his face and smites us. Refusing to doubt of his love when he hides his face and smites us. You remember Job? Job 13 verse 5. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Refusing to doubt of his love, when he hides his face and smites us. There was an enemy of Spurgeon. Spurgeon had gout and he was suffering with other things as well. And this enemy came up to him. What kind of God could do that to you? And Spurgeon, he immediately responds, if God afflicted me 1,000 times more, I would still love him. If things got worse for you this week, are you focused on the Lord? I love thee, Lord. I'm trusting in thee. When you're in a battle, oh, to so focus on him, to exercise faith. When you are facing a hurdle, to be so believing. Psalm 18, verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. I've run through that army, and I've leaped over that wall of difficulty. For by thee. See the psalmist, he's focused on the Lord. He looks back and he's looking to the future. Oh, to so focus on him. What had the centurion done? He had stopped and considered the Lord and the Lord's word. You know, there are times when we need to stop and look and gaze intently on your Saviour. If you are facing a situation at this moment, can I ask you now to gaze intently at your Saviour, at your Captain. Focus on the promises, and all that your faith will be strengthened. He has the power. His word is true. Gaze intently on Jesus. Shut out the whispers of the devil. Say no to your doubts and rest in him. There are times when we need to pray for an increase. You remember the apostles, when they heard how often they should forgive the penitent man? They responded in Luke 17 to our Lord in verse 5 and said, increase our faith. I have saving faith, but oh, for an increase. Oh, that my faith would be more active within, that I might be so exercising it. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would come and cultivate the grace. How often do we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and cultivate the graces within, to cultivate the grace of faith? You've got this gift of saving faith within your heart. There's times when you need to pray, increase our faith. And you know, often when you pray those words, something's happening, isn't it? You're focusing. And often it's not long afterward or quite quickly when you're so resting in Jesus. Increase our faith. At this time of the year, you see the little apples on the tree. I went to visit my father last night and I asked him about the pears on the tree. I said, have you lost many pears? And you could just see them. He said, well, I've lost a few and I don't mind if I lose more. He's not so keen on pears anymore. But you see the little apples or the pears growing on the tree. What does the gardener desire? That there would be growth. What do we desire at times? That there would be growth, increase. And that the grace of faith would so grow and ripen. Increase our faith. Let's not be ashamed to say it at times. Increase our faith. So that in the face of trial, that we might be so focused and able to say, it is well for my soul. Oh, to know that come. When faith is seen as great, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And the man who penned those words, he had lost so much. Yet he could say, it is well with my soul. Sometimes one may be shaking. Oh, increase our faith. That I might know that tranquility in my heart. That I might be so focused on thee. That I might say, it is well for my soul. Then why do we at times need to pray, increase our faith? because our faith appears small. And so in conclusion this morning, let's consider thirdly, little faith. Come with me to verse 26. You remember the disciples, they're in a storm. They're being tossed around. They're fearful. They're going to perish. So violent was the storm. So great was the danger. Our Lord, he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. O ye of little faith. They were fearful, they were struggling. One can be fearful. One can be struggling in a trial. You take these true disciples, we know Judas, were to be one who would not truly love the Lord, but the true disciples here, they were only human. And so are we. There are times when we do struggle. There are times when one may be fearful. One can focus on the difficulties they see and sink like Peter. The doubts can arise and battle with faith in our hearts. Whispers can settle in the ear. And we can be struggling. And there's little exercise of faith. There's other occasions. We're going through a difficult time and it's so difficult. And one may be ill and struggling. There are times when the Lord needs to come and say to us, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. How do we respond to Jesus? O ye of little faith. How do we? He needs to say it at times. And he says it because he loves us. O ye of little faith. Where is your faith? Why are you not looking to me? Why are you so focused on this storm? And I have sympathy for you. But you're not turning to me and focusing on me. Why are you not believing the scriptures? Why are you not believing the promises of help, grace and strength? Where is your faith? And if we're honest before the Lord here this morning, he needs to say it to us at times. We know at times we're not looking to him as we ought to. But oh, there is help. There is help for us. He comes. You see these disciples here, they were struggling. He comes and he rebukes them. Oh, ye have little faith, in order to help them. And then he calms the storm and he focuses their attention. You know, if you feel at times the rebuke of the Lord, often it's not long after when you feel that strengthening with him. You see, he's refocused you. You may go down to Mudderford and there's a telescope and you can look out to sea and different ones go, and some of my children, they go up, and I know others of you have, you go up, and you have to refocus. Sometimes the Lord, through his Spirit, will refocus our gaze, that we're so focusing on him. At times our faith may appear small. He knows. He will come. He will speak, and he will strengthen. Because he wants you to be so focusing on him. He wants you to be so leaning on him. That's what he wants you to do. So when your faith appears small to him, he'll be on his way, through his word. Because he wants you leaning on him. He wants you resting on him in the situation. What a blessing to have faith. Yes, at times it appears as little, small, but what a blessing to have it. We consider here that these disciples, they were found looking unto Jesus with such faith again, with such strong faith. What a blessing to have faith. You think of a fire. Something's being put on the fire. There's a certain lady who puts the peelings on the fire. And what happens? There's smoke everywhere. But the fire is underneath of the peelings. The fire is still there. The Lord comes. It seems all smoke. There doesn't seem much activity. And he stirs the grace of faith. And the fire appears. Oh, that's what we need, isn't it? For the Lord to stir. And to strengthen our faith. We want to face the battles. By so looking unto our captain. What a blessing to have faith. And what a blessing. There are those times when we're simply so focused on Jesus. Amen. Let us pray.